Stay standing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning there, I'm going to read one other verse in 2 Peter chapter 3. You're in 1 Peter 2. I'll be in 2 Peter 3 for one verse. I'm going to read verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. We'll read this responsively. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to you the best I know how. If ever I've needed you to be strong, I need you to be strong through me tonight. May I be able to help your people. Some in this room have been saved a long time. Some have been saved just hours or days. Others, months. Others, years. And others, decades. But all of us need to keep growing. I pray that you'd help us tonight to grow, to be better Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Sorry, I had to get my water because I have a feeling I'm going to need it tonight. This has been, and I alluded to this morning. I'm only going to touch it for a moment here. There's been a hard week on my wife and I. We took our baby to Bible college, and she's in Lexington, Kentucky, and dropped her off, and she is there. And I'll be honest with you, we got to spend time with all of our children. All three of our children are there, and our daughter-in-law. I say three of our children. I have three biologically and four, the fourth one by marriage. My daughter-in-law is my daughter, amen, and we call her that. But we came home and to an empty, quiet house. And without Mindy there, you'd be surprised how quiet it is. Now, I say that, and I'm not afraid nor ashamed. It hit me a little harder than I was planning on. It kind of snuck up and smacked me right in the back of the head, and I really wasn't expecting it. It was funny. I said something this morning about this. We had about an hour and a half before we went to see them for the last time. And I just started crying. I said, this is stupid. This is selfish. Why am I crying? She said, I don't know, but I am too. Yeah, and the more she cried, the more I cried. It was great. It was just a blubbering mess. Now, let me say this. We had so many people while we were there compliment our boys. Of course, my son Josh is, I'm no longer Brother Bush. I'm Brother Josh's dad. And I like that. I'm glad he has that reputation. I think I'm glad I have that reputation. I'm not sure. While I was there, three men walked up to me before church started Wednesday, put their arms around my son, Jeff. All three of them were older gentlemen, gray-haired, and complimented Jeff and different things. Found out two of them were millionaires, and they just love him. I said, son, you better get in tight with them, all right? But no, he's just built a good reputation. Both my boys are hard workers, and they love their church there and are involved in their church, and I'm excited about it. And it hurts to leave your kids, but I'm excited to see them all three serving God. As I said this morning, we get to live 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And it's exciting to see what the Lord's doing with them. Now, I say that to say this. We had to face the fact that all of our children are grown up. I think the reason I cried because I didn't realize I was going to feel old. But I think I felt old. Yeah, I'm watching my dad. Yeah, it's all downhill from there, son. I think he's under the hill as old as he is, but it was just you know, all of a sudden it just smacks you upside the face. You know, from here up, I don't feel that old. But it's happened. I walked up to a fella I haven't seen, Brother Fisher, in years. I said, "Man, you look old." He said, "You don't look like no spring chicken." Ay, ay, ay. Now, I say that to say this. We raised them to go. We didn't raise them to stay. We raised them to do the will of God. And I'm pleased that they want to do God's will for their lives. Now, we're at the point, our family's not, we're not shrinking, we're expanding. We had three children, but got four now, and no, we're not expecting, just so you know. But with Josh getting married, and I'm sure before too long, Jeff will find one, and they say there's one born every minute, so there's hope, amen? And then eventually, Mindy will find somebody by the time she's 40 or so, and it won't be long. Now, of course, grandchildren may be in the future. I cannot picture myself being called grandpa yet. I'm sure it's on the way one of these days, but when it comes, I'm just going to enjoy it. Now, as God's children, we all have a responsibility to grow. We have the responsibility to grow. You see, God tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to notice it wasn't a request. Did you know you can't stop people from growing? If my wife could have stopped my daughter from growing up in the last year, she would have, trust me. If I could have stopped it before we got to Kentucky, I would have. But guess what? You can't stop it. It happens. We have a responsibility as Christians to grow. We become the sons or the children of God. And God wants his children to grow up. Brother Jimmy said, "Brother Bush, you got an empty nest." He said, "I got three. Which one do you want? You can take them home." No, Brother Jimmy, I'm enjoying the quiet for once. Amen. Now, let me say this. We have many Christians, though, and this may not be a politically correct term anymore, but it's a correct term. We have too many Christians that have retarded their growth. The word retard means slow. It's not an offensive word, just so you know. Now, I don't think that you ought to use it in an offensive way. But it's a musical term. It's a term that means slow. Can I tell you something? We've got too many special needs, retarded Christians in our world today. We don't want to grow. We don't want to grow up. We have a government that says it's okay for you to live at home till you're 30 years old and let mommy and daddy pay your bills. That's a bunch of malarkey. Thank God I had a daddy that taught me how to work and work hard and provide for myself so that when I left to go to college at 18, when I left, I left and been pretty much so as much as in me is making my way. Now, I can't tell you that while I was in college, didn't need a little help because that does come from time to time. But from then on, we've been making it. Can I tell you why? Because I was taught to work. Some of you that haven't had children grow up in a long time, or somebody said, "Well, you can save yourself a bunch of insurance. Mindy doesn't have a car. You can take her off your insurance." No, you can't. Anymore, they have to stay on your insurance until they either A, get married, or B, turn 26, or C, change permanent residency. You can't even get them off your own car insurance as teenagers. The government has mandated that. Everybody doing all right? It's crazy how much freedom we are losing in America. Now, I say that to say this. I want to grow as a Christian. I want to grow as a Christian. I got saved back 44 years ago. I'm 48, so about 43, 44 years ago, I got saved at the Canton Baptist Temple in Canton, Ohio. After a junior church sermon, primary church sermon, a one-legged Vietnam veteran who had a wooden leg, and I'm not talking a wooden prosthetic, I'm talking, you know, Captain Hook peg leg, That guy scared me to death. He got up and preached on hell one day, and I said, I don't want to go there. And my Sunday school teacher knelt beside one of those little kindergartner chairs and won me to Jesus Christ that day. And I have been saved every day since. Amen? Because you can't lose it. Now, I'll say this, though. I've been growing for those 43 years. I've been preaching for 35 years. I started preaching on August 1st, 1980. I was in Guatemala, Chihuahua, Mexico, when I surrendered to preach, and I preached between there and the mountains in Chihuahua. Sometime that next day, on July 31st, I surrendered, and the next day I preached, and I have been preaching ever since. I've been preaching for 35 years. Seen tens and tens and tens of thousands of people saved. God has been good. Assistant pastor in California, South Carolina. I got to work for Dr. Jack Hiles at First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, and worked for many, many years with Dr. Jeff Owens in a great growing church in this area for a while, and then things happened and God led us to start this church. Can I tell you something? It's amazing what God has done. It's amazing. You're looking at a teenage boy that would fail every oral book report because he didn't want to get up and talk in front of people. I know you don't believe that, but it is true. I was afraid of people. Now, I don't know about you, though I've been in the ministry full-time for 26 years, though I've been preaching for 35 years, though I've been saved for 43-ish years, I still want to grow. I don't believe that it's ever time for a Christian to stop growing. Amen. Now, I want to give you, I think, four things tonight, and that will help you with your Christian growth. Number one, I love this. I'm about to have a spell. Growth begins at germination. Growth begins at germination. When you plant a seed, you know, if you leave that seed in the pack or leave that seed on the shelf, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to sit there. It's not until you put that seed in the ground at a certain depth, whichever depth is appropriate for whatever you're planting, get a little dirt and put over top of it, and then put a little water on it, let the sunshine warm that dirt up, and that seed has to germinate. That means this. It has to be born again. When you get saved, the germination process begins for the Christian life for you to start growing. Too many people want to try to live the Christian life without ever being planted. It doesn't work. You don't get saved by your works. You get saved by grace through faith. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to germinate the seed in your life so that growth can begin. Now, carrying a seed around doesn't grow anything. Putting it in your pocket won't grow anything. You got to put it in the ground. To grow, it has to abide alone and die. I love this. The Bible says in John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Watch this. When you plant that seed in the ground, it actually dies to give life. It has life-giving potential in it, but it has to die and begin to rot before it brings life. What a beautiful picture of salvation. Amen. Salvation is you headed towards hell trying to earn heaven by your good works, by your own merit, by your own way, and one day you realize you're headed to hell and you need what Jesus Christ did for you, and you're abiding alone in death, and you say, ha, I'm going to plant myself and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do his work in me. I'll trust what Jesus Christ did to take me to heaven. And at that moment, germination began and you got born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And by the way, the seed is the Word of God. You don't get saved outside of the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Now, I say that to say this. Your real growth comes by your personal time with God. Church is important. Yes, it is. Church will teach you things so that you can go one-on-one with you and your God and begin to grow as a Christian. Everybody doing all right? Now hang in there. Church is the classroom where you learn how to do it. You can learn all you want, but if you don't go do it, it's worthless. Got too many churches that are turning into college classrooms and schoolrooms instead of workshops. We're giving everybody the tools and show them how to use it, but we don't let them use it. That's why you're supposed to go soul winning. You're supposed to go soul winning because you take what you learn on Sunday, take it out to everybody else, and teach them all throughout the week. That's what it's all about. Now, hang in there. We need to go soul winning to scatter the seed. That's the gospel. That means once we get to where we're growing, we're supposed to start planting more seeds. Amen? That's what it's all about. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. Somebody probably will get mad at me, but it's okay. You've been mad before. You'll get over it. I am getting sick and tired of us fundamentalists. We've turned the way of the liberals, and we're you're going to get mad at me. Well, we've got to disciple everybody. The word disciple means full-time servant. Yes, sir. God didn't call everybody to be a full-time servant. He commanded everybody to grow. He didn't command everybody to be a disciple. My children are at Bible college becoming disciples. They're getting intense training. That's what it means where if you don't leave father and mother and brother and kindred, you're not fit to become a disciple. God didn't ask every Christian to leave their mommy and daddy and go to Bible college. We're all whacked out in this thing. We're too caught up in our intellectualism in Christianity. God did command every one of us to grow in the Lord. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You look at any disciple in the Bible, they were full-time servants. Everybody doing all right? Okay, got that off my chest. So, number one. Growth begins at germination. Number two, a plant or an object, person, a Christian, grows. They get bigger, but it's the same plant or object. It's not another one. Did you know that if you plant a bean seed, you're going to get a bean plant, not a corn plant? I know this is a little over your head. Did you know that if you plant a corn seed, you're not going to get okra? Some of you are thanking God for that. I like it fried, but don't boil that nasty stuff. You boil that stuff, it's like somebody had a sinus infection with BBs in it. Amen? That's all I can say. But fried, it's okay. Can I tell you something? When you plant that seed, it begins to grow. Now listen to this. Let's bring it down to us humans. As a baby grows, they don't become a different person, contrary to what Bruce Jenner thinks, or whatever its name is. That child becomes more and more of what they are. My children are no longer at home. They're grown. But do you know they're the same children that were conceived by my wife and I? And the day they were hatched and we brought them itty-bitty creatures, well, two of them were itty-bitty. Jeff was a monster. He was 9 pounds, 2 ounces. He was a hoss. But we brought them little puppies home. They're the same little puppies we brought home, just more of them. They didn't grow any extra fingers or toes or noses or eyeballs or ears. One tried to take part of a finger off. Or anything else. They're the same creation. They're just bigger. They grew. Everybody doing all right? You don't become different as a Christian. God didn't ask you to become some other personality. God made your personality for Him. He just wants you to grow and let God use it. I cannot be Dr. Jack Hiles. Don't want to be. Two reasons. Number one, I can't be him. Number two, he's been dead for 14 years. I don't want to be dead right now. You laugh, but I'm not trying to be Jack Hiles. I'm not trying to be Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody or J. Frank Norris or any other preacher. God didn't call me to be them. God called me to be me. And God's called you to be you. You just need to grow. See, you're not becoming a different person as you grow. You're growing into the person or to the Christian that God intended you to be. You see, be what God wants you to be. Hey, young person, what are you going to do with your life? I ask young people that and they say, what's God want you to do? You do what God wants you to do and follow the will of God for your life and everything will be fine. That doesn't mean every one of our young people are going to be in full-time service. I think a higher percentage should be and will be, but that doesn't mean all of them will be. Everybody doing all right? I know you don't hear that kind of preaching anymore in fundamentalism, but somebody's got to say it. You see, not all plants grow at the same pace. Did you ever plant two or three or four plants and they're all different sizes? They came from the same package of plants or the same package of seeds, but they all grow at different rates. Sometimes it's the soil. Sometimes it's the actual seed. Sometimes it's the actual plant. Sometimes it's attacked and it's restricted. Sometimes it's the water issue. It doesn't. There's so many factors that grow into it. May I say this as Christians, quit being so impatient with other Christians as they grow. Well, when I was their age, you're not their age, so quit worrying about them. You let them grow. Quit judging everybody by you. That just shows you need more growth than anybody right now. I went to meddling, didn't I? You know, some plants don't even look good, but they're productive. I have three green pepper plants. Them cotton pickers are this tall, but I just got three peppers off of them finally. Say why? Because I had a family of rabbits, and they ate every one of the leaves off of that. From about here down, there's not a leaf, stem, or nothing on them things. They look like a tree growing. They got a stalk, and then they've got plant, you know? I thought, now my dog finally got one of them stupid critters, amen? My little beagle caught her first rabbit. Glory to God. And then my wife and daughters heard this screaming and went out and rescued the stupid thing. I had to go put it out of its misery about 3 hours later. They caught it and put it in a bucket. She broke its back legs and back. I said, look, one more crunch and it was over. Why didn't you just let her do what God made her do? We couldn't take it. Oh, just close your ears. It'll be all right. Wait a minute. Those plants, they're healthy plants. They didn't produce. They don't look good. They don't look like a regular pepper plant. They look like a pepper tree. Okay, they got about that much of the plant with leaves and fruit on it, and about that much that doesn't have anything on it. Good night. Strip that thing clean. I'm half worried if it gets a lot of peppers on it, they're just going to go like this, you know, I'm going to have to stake them up like a tomato. Now, I say that to say this. Not every plant that even looks good, but guess what? They can produce. I have the scraggliest looking tomato plant this year. But man, is it pumping them out. I thought this thing isn't going to do anything. It probably has produced more tomatoes than any plant I ever planted. And it looks horrible. Thinking, okay, usually they're vibrant and green. This thing just kind of there. But, man, it just keeps kicking them off. I'm like, go for it, man. I don't care what you look like. Just keep pumping them things off there, amen? You know, some of us, if we judge it by how it looks instead of what it's producing, it's growing. And it will continue to grow by its production. So, number one, growth begins at germination. Number two, as a plant or object grows, they get bigger, but it's the same plant or the same object. It's not a different one. Number three, are you ready? This is not rocket science, but you'll enjoy this. As something grows, it adds to or increases to itself. Similar to point two. You know, plants add limbs. Plants add leaves and stems. We were gone for several days taking Mindy to Kentucky. I got back and my tomato plants, we'd gotten some rain while we were gone, finally. Well, you put any rainwater with a tomato, and overnight they just kind of go a little bit more. And you got to go out, and if I'm using a wrong term, forgive me, you farmers, but you got to sucker them. And that means there's stems and things that come off of a tomato plant that aren't going to be productive. They won't produce fruit, but they're stealing nutrients and water from the soil to grow those things. So you pinch them off so that all the water and nutrients will go to where the fruit is. And you got to pinch all those things off. You know, got a green thumb. That's where the term comes from. Amen. You got a green thumb from pinching off all those stupid tomato suckers. Amen. Now, I say that to say this. Some of those you pinch off. And you got to know which ones to do, and I understand that. Can I tell you something? As you grow as a Christian, you're to add strength. You're to add wisdom. You're to add knowledge. You're to add relationships. You're to add separation. Do you know that the older you get shouldn't be the softer you get, but the more separated you are? Why is it that, and I understand the older you get, the less you want to fight. I watch older preachers give up. Can I tell you something? Thank God I had older preachers in my life that didn't give up. Thank God that I plan on going to the grave as or more separated than I was when I was hatched. Amen? See, it should be that you get stronger, not weaker, the older you get in your Christian growth. You ought not to be shaken as easily the older you get and the more mature you get in the Lord. You should be adding to your soul winning, not diminishing it as you grow in the Lord. I've been soul winning for 36 plus years. It's still one of the hardest things I do. Brother Prussia, I hate to admit this, but when I go soul winning, I knock on the first door. Y'all know, my first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. I really do. I've been cussed out. I've had guns and knives pointed in my face. I've been chewed up, spit up, dogs sicked on me. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. But all of a sudden, that door opens up, and I got that gospel track in my hand, and something clicks. And it is... Hello, my name's Pastor Bush. I'm from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through the air. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regular. And something clicks inside of me, and it's like sick 'em to a bulldog. It's just like something kicks in. Now, my first thought is not, oh, brother, this person's going to get saved. My first thought is, man, I hope they're not home, because I have flesh like you have. But I've grown to go past that feeling of, hope they're not home. By the way, I learned a long time ago, I quit judging by who they are when they come to the door or whether I give them the gospel or not. Usually the one I think's going to listen is the one that slams the door in my face, and the one I think's not going to listen is the one that bows their head and gets saved. Who am I to judge who gets saved? My job isn't to judge. My job is to give them the gospel. It's just like the mailman. The mailman doesn't look through your mail and decide which bills to give you. He just plunks the whole thing in there. And you don't blame the mailman because he put the bills there. He didn't spend the money. You did. Now, some of you want to blame the mailman. Some of you want to hold the mailman accountable for your Potomac Edison bill. Can I tell you something? It wasn't mailman's fault. Yours. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun here. So as something grows, it adds or it increases to what it is. Can I tell you something? You're supposed to add to your walk with God. The older you get, walk with him more. I had quote-unquote Christian radio on the other day, going from point A to point B. Sometimes I do it just to get me mad, amen? But I heard some pastor, he said, I've been pastoring X number of years. He said, I hate to admit this to my people, but I've never read through the Bible in a year. He said, I read my Bible every day, but I've never read through it in a year. Someday, I hope to. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Every person in his church ought to resign and go somewhere else. I'd be ashamed of myself as a man of God to get up and say I've never read through my Bible in a year. I average 2.5-3 times through that book every year and have for many, 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 many years. And that's on top of the study. And I go soul winning. I don't just sit there and read. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? I'm to be an expert in that book. I'm to be an expert in showing people how to get saved. I'm to be an expert in helping people with their problems. And the only book we can use is that one right there. It is there for us to use. And by the way, it's what reproduces life in other people. We don't always like the recipe, but I like the cook. That means we should be helping more people as we grow in the Lord, not less. Well, I helped somebody and they hurt me. Oh, come here. Let me burp you too. Folks, since when do we help people based on how they receive it? Our job is to help them whether they receive it well or not. I was at Brother Fugit's church the other night and I heard somebody holler my name. I turned around, and I'm still to the point where it's either duck or pucker, amen? And I wasn't sure what it was. They said, "Aren't you Brother Bush?" I said, "I am. Who are you?" And they told me. Fortunately, it was friendly fire, amen? But I had one. It wasn't friendly fire. I walked up and said, "Hey, how are you?" And they went, "Did that offend you? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Yeah. Say, "What'd you do?" "I went and found an old scraggly bus kid who was standing right next to us. And I said, 'Hey there, buddy, I'm glad you're at church tonight.' He said, 'Me too, man.'" I encouraged myself that quick. The other dude, it didn't bother me a bit. I don't care. I didn't have the bad attitude. He did. I didn't look like I was weaned on dill pickle juice. He did. I didn't look like I had been sucking on green persimmons. He did. It doesn't bother me." Say, didn't you get offended? Not a bit. I did what Jesus said do. I shook off the dust and found somebody that wanted to be greeted. Amen. Hey, can I tell you something? We need to be growing in our families. I'm not talking necessarily those of you that are in your 50s having more children. But we need to be growing in our marriages. We need to be growing in our marriages. We have a generation, and everybody listen to me, where we want to cop out on our family responsibilities. It's time we men step up and be husbands and daddies. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm reworking my schedule a little bit so that I have a little bit more time at home with my wife. I'm still going to put the same amount of hours in. I'm just going to reorganize it because she needs me right now and I need her. Say why? The kids are gone. They took up a bunch of that time. We got married to be with each other, not necessarily have a bunch of kids. Now, it happens, but after they're gone, we still have each other. I remember when my daughter was little, I'd say, "I love you more than you love me." "Oh, no, Daddy, I love you." I said, "No, you don't. Someday you're going to grow up and move away, and you hate me because you're going to move away from me." Guess what? She hates me. She moved away from me. I told her that. She said, "Daddy, don't do that." Can I tell you something? But my boys, we'd get into wrestling matches. I'd say, "Son, get your cotton-picking lips off my wife." "Well, that's my mom." I said, "Don't care if she's your mom. That's my wife. You don't kissing her. I kiss her." "No, Daddy, that's mama." I said, no, she's my wife. You're going to leave us someday, but she's going to be mine when you're not here." "Oh, Daddy, I'm not leaving." "Yes, you are." "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are. Ask Josh right now. He left a long time ago. Now he's kissing on some other woman, amen? It's called his wife, just so you know." Thought I better clarify that for those of you that might not know. Can I tell you something? It's about time we step up as husbands and be what our wives need us to be. You know, it wasn't wrong the other day when my wife and I sat on the couch at Josh's apartment, Josh and Ruth Ann's apartment, we cried together. Matter of fact, it was right. I don't know if she needed it, but I did. I said, I got to get through this before we tell her goodbye or it's going to be miserable. So I got my meltdown before the nuclear reactor went off. Amen. Can I tell you something? I decided I'm going to step up and be a little bit more what she needs me to be. Say why? Because I love that lady with everything I have. Isn't that what it's all about? About time we husbands step up and be what our wives need us to be. They step up when you want them to. How about you step up? How about you step up and be a dad to your kids? And I'm just going to go ahead and say it because we live in such a generation. But if they're your stepchildren, you step up and be a parent to them. It's not their fault. Why don't you step up and be a dad? Step up and be a mom. By the way, stepchildren, step up and be a good son or daughter to your step-parents too. Wow. We need to grow as a church. That means this. We ought to be growing so we can go out and get others. Number four, and I'm done. As we grow, successful growth, knew it was going to come, successful growth reproduces or bears fruit. Did you know, did you ever have a tomato plant that just grew like crazy but didn't throw any tomatoes? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, the thing could be 5 feet tall, but you got two tomatoes on the thing. It's not a successful tomato plant. It might be big, it might be full, but if it didn't give you tomatoes, it's worthless. Can I tell you something? We as Christians need to grow and produce fruit as Christians. We need to reproduce or bear fruit. Guess what? Do you know what fruit is? Do you know inside every fruit is a seed? So that you can grow another plant? My dad's got a couple peach trees. He'd been growing them for a few years. He hadn't gotten any peaches off those trees for all these years because the deer come and eat them all off. He finally, this year, got an electric fence and put around the garden to keep the deer out. But then they started eating peaches again, so he ran wires across to his trees and wired them up. After the first night, there was footprints and one seed. And that was it. Say, how do you know there was only one seed? Because you could see where the footprints were after that nose hit that electric fence, buddy. They didn't come back. He's got peaches finally. Can I tell you something? Each one of those peaches has a big, big old nasty seed in that thing. Do you know if you let that thing dry, put it in the ground, plant it, it'll produce another tree that produces bushels and bushels and bushels and bushels of peaches every year? Can I tell you something? If you as a Christian will go out and tell others about him, each and every one of those people that you get and they get saved and they come to church and they start growing in the Lord, they have the potential to go out and reach more people just like you do. That's God's plan. Boy, each piece of fruit is a seed pod for another plant. Christians need to grow and produce fruit. By the way, that's what John 15 is all about. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that beareth fruit, and more fruit, and much fruit. Everybody doing okay? It's our job to bear fruit. And it's exciting, by the way. Salvation, and I'm done, germinates a seed of faith. The sprout is the plant. It is not changing plants, it's a growing plant. It has great potential. The more it grows, the more potential for fruit there is, but it only gets stronger when it produces fruit. Do you know a plant that does not produce fruit is not a strong plant, it's weak? Do you know a tree that does not throw fruit or seeds is a weak tree? You know it's getting sick by the fruit that it does or does not throw. It gets stronger each and every time it bears fruit. My dad's got sticks underneath his peach tree, holding up the limbs because there's so many peaches on them. But probably next year, he won't have to have many sticks on that because those limbs are getting bigger and stronger because they're bearing fruit. And it's just like some of you teenage boys that want to lift weights. You put 150 pounds on the bar and collapse it on your chest. You put weight on it and you've got to have that resistance to get stronger. And some of us as Christians look at that resistance and say, oh, I don't want to do that. It's just so hard. Oh, God, why are you allowing this in my life? And God, why has this come to me? Because God is trying to make you stronger so you'll bear more fruit. And as you bear more fruit, you get stronger. That's what it's all about. Our church is a strong church. It's a young church. It's a growing church. And we have growing pains. And we'll have growing pains as long as we're a growing church. Can I tell you something? But that's why one person walked the aisle and got saved this morning. Two ladies got baptized this morning. And it's signs of a growing church. We were reproducing in the church. Isn't that what it's all about? That's our job. I'm going to make a statement here. I preached a sermon on this about 3 years ago. I'm not going to re-preach it. Our job as sheep are to stay in the fold and reproduce in the fold. If you go looking for stray sheep, you're going to become stray yourself. It's the shepherd's job to go after stray sheep, not the sheep's job. You go after stray sheep, they're going to pull you out of the fold, and guess what? You're going to become prey. You stay in the fold, reproduce in the fold, you let the shepherd go after the stray ones, you just stay in the protection of the fold and keep reproducing. That's what God's asked you to do. Everybody doing all right? Because that's the way you live a happy life. We have a responsibility to grow. Do you know that a tree grows until it dies? It keeps growing. I'm not sure. It's probably been at least 45 years ago. My dad probably will be able to narrow it down a little closer, but we planted a little pin oak tree in my grandma and grandpa's backyard. It was about as tall as I am now, maybe a little taller. As a teenager, I mowed their yard. I couldn't mow the backyard without going under the limbs, you know. That thing was only 10, 12, 13, 14 years old at that point in time. About a year ago, we were back in Canton. I drove by Grandma's old house. That tree's got to be 120 foot tall. It's got a base on it bigger around than this pulpit. The thing is massive. You need a rig to get up to the first limb. You wouldn't have to duck, and I don't care who you are. That tree still grows. It takes up the entire backyard. I mean, the whole thing. It is a massive tree. Do you know that that thing won't quit growing till it starts dying? When God said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you look up that word grow, it means grow like a tree. That means you just keep growing a little at a time. If you've never seen the redwoods of California, the sequoias, I mean, wow. Some of those things, some of those trees are as old, they're 2,000 plus years old. They were here when Jesus was here. They're massive. They're still growing. You think, man, how do they do that? Because they haven't died. You're to grow until you die. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're still sucking air, you're supposed to be growing. We have a responsibility to grow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's be willing to grow. Let's be willing to walk with God ourselves. Let's be willing to obey God. Let's be willing to lock ourselves into church and get busy and get going and obey Him in all areas of our life. Let's just be willing to grow. Who'd say, preacher, there's something in that sermon I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Maybe it's about your home, your family, your marriage, whatever it is. You may put your hands down.